Chapter 2. Riley. When I was a kid, I loved Christmas. I loved everything about it. Decorating the tree, Christmas caroling through our neighborhood, going to see Santa Claus at the mall. But over the last few years, this time of year had become my least favorite. Even the music got on my nerves. Apparently, the same wasn't true for Liliana. I'd gone to her place before the party tonight, since she was keeping my morkapoo while I went home for the holidays. Liliana had a half dozen wrapped presents and a collar with bells waiting for Sister Mary Alice when I walked in. She was all about Christmas, and it made me feel a bit like the Grinch tonight. As we entered the lobby of the hotel where our party was being held, she handed her coat to the coat check attendant and started to bop around and sing along to Mariah Carey's All I Want for Christmas Is You, which was blaring overhead. "So what should we do first?" she said. "Get a drink or scope out Mr. Hottie?" I took my claim ticket from the coat check lady and shook my head. "I think we're definitely going to need a drink if I'm going to have to face Mr. Hottie. I mean Mr. Nosybody. Are we sure he's here tonight?" "I have no idea. I never heard back from him. Or from that rude assistant to Dear Ida, either, for that matter." Liliana and I walked to the grand ballroom where Star Publishing's expanded holiday party was in full swing. The double doors were wide open, and we took a minute to look inside. There were a heck of a lot more people than usual. When it was just our division, we were usually holed up in a small ballroom, and the small dance floor was generally half empty. But this year, it was twice as big, and bodies were packed onto it. There was even a guy dressed up as Santa Claus in the middle of the room handing out those light-up necklaces that flashed in red and green. The vibe was already totally different than usual. "God, how many people work at the other office? It looks like the bizarro version of our dull Christmas party." Liliana hooked her arm with mine. "I don't know, but maybe that's a good thing, and I won't run into you-know-who." "Are you kidding? I've been looking forward to this for weeks. It's going to be the highlight of my month. You better run into him." Liliana and I walked in and went straight to the nearest bar. Normally, I'd get a glass of white wine, but when it was our turn to order, I pointed to a woman holding a delicious-looking cocktail with crushed red and white candy cane bits rimming the glass and asked the bartender, "What are those?"
"That's tonight's specialty drink, a white Christmas martini. Vanilla vodka, white chocolate liqueur, and creme de coco with crushed peppermint candy cane lining the rim. They're making them in the back. It'll be a few minutes until they bring me a new batch."
I licked my lips. I'll have one of those, please."
"Me too.
Tell them to hurry," Liliana said. While we waited, I looked around. My eyes scanned the room for Kennedy, but luckily there was no sign of him. Maybe he wasn't even here. From what little I knew about him, he did seem more Scrooge than spirited. After a thorough search of the faces in the crowd and coming up empty, the tension in my neck started to ease, and my shoulders relaxed a bit. I dug a few bucks out of my purse and tipped the bartender as I took my white Christmas martini. I sipped and continued to stare out at the people on the dance floor as Liliana waited for her drink.
"Looking for someone, Riley. Perhaps Mr. Riley,"
a deep, raspy voice said from over my shoulder. Startled, I whipped around fast, forgetting that I had a very full martini glass in my hand. I watched in horror as a wave of white Christmas martini splashed onto the front of the man's dark shirt and tie. "Oh no, shoot!" I grabbed a thick stack of napkins from the bar and immediately started to blot at the mess. "I'm so sorry. I hate these glasses to begin with, and I'm so jumpy tonight."
"Jumpy, huh? Nervous about meeting a certain someone?"
I hadn't looked up yet, but the way the man practically purred those last few words, I knew. I knew. Plus, my arms broke out in goosebumps, and the little hairs on the back of my neck stood up. I closed my eyes, my hands blotting at the man's shirt, stilled, and for the first time, I became aware of the warm chest underneath, the very hard, warm, and muscular chest. I squeezed my eyes closed even tighter and counted to myself. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. On 10, I took a deep breath and peeked one eye open. The jerk's mouth curved into a wicked grin.
"Still here. Would you like to try counting to 20 and see if that helps?"
My other eye flashed open, Then both went wide as I blinked once, then twice. Oh, my. Of course, he had to be even better looking in person. He couldn't just photograph really well and be a disappointment in the flesh. Mr. Nosybody had a ridiculously chiseled, masculine jaw, flawless skin, and incredible eyes, a shade of blue so light that they were almost clear, and those were currently boring into me. Did I mention he was also tall? I stood a solid 5'5" without heels, and tonight I was sporting an extra 3 inches, maybe 4. Yet I still only came up to his shoulders, his very broad shoulders. The fact that he was just about perfect pissed me off even more. I blinked a few more times, then snapped myself out of it before clearing my throat. Well, if it isn't Mr. Nosybody. Shocker that you'd find me as soon as I walked in. You seem to love being in my business. He grinned and pointed his eyes down to where my hands were still pressed against his shirt. You seem to love being in mine at the moment, too. Riley, Riley, Riley. Can't keep your hands off me already. I ripped my hands away. Hardly, I scoffed. I was trying to help dry you off. His lip twitched, and he tilted the drink in his hand in my direction. Maybe I should be as clumsy as you, just so I can return the favor and help you dry off. I squinted at him. He squinted right back, although his eyes were twinkling the whole time. Once again, he was amused at my expense. Story of my life lately. The man was downright infuriating. I took a deep breath and pasted a fake smile on my face. I apologize for spilling the drink on you, but you really shouldn't sneak up on people like that. My apologies. Let's start over. I'm Kennedy Riley. Pleasure to meet you. What's your name again? Smartass. I glanced over his shoulder and pretended to wave at someone. Oh, gosh, I see someone I actually like over there who I need to speak to. I'd say it was lovely meeting you, but I'm a terrible liar. So instead, I'll just say Merry freaking Christmas. I turned to Liliana, whose mouth was hanging wide open, and grabbed her elbow. Come on, I'll get a new drink at the bar on the other side of the room, the one farthest away from him. We'd been sneaking looks at each other all night. I'd get caught up in staring at him across the room, then turn away as soon as he noticed. At one point, he grinned and raised his glass in my direction. The jerk. As much as Kennedy bothered me, he was proving to be hard to ignore. I wondered if I'd managed to escape this party without another encounter. Liliana stepped outside for a smoke with some of our co-workers. Sipping my drink, I found myself alone for the first time since we'd arrived. The DJ had stopped playing Christmas music altogether and had moved on to funkier dance music. September by Earth, Wind, and Fire began to play. I'd always loved that song. I'd always loved that song. That is, until Kennedy Riley entered my line of sight, charging toward me as he snapped his raised fingers to the beat. I frantically looked around, hoping that Liliana would appear and save me from this. Before I knew it, his arm was wrapped around my waist and he was dragging me onto the dance floor. No, no, no. Kennedy moved us through the sea of people until we landed in our own small section of the dance floor. He held out his hands for me to join him, but I wouldn't budge. Unfazed, he began to clap his hands and snap his fingers as he sang out the words to the song. When that didn't accomplish anything, Kennedy moved in closer and gyrated his hips with great enthusiasm, as if he were a stripper from Magic Mike working a crowd of frenzied women. Despite this, I continued to stand there like a statue with a bad attitude. The only thing moving was my head as it turned to watch Kennedy while he circled around me. His eyes were on mine the entire time, while the eyes of several female employees were on him. The more I insisted on not moving, the more energy he put into his dance moves. I didn't know if it was the way he bit his bottom lip at one point or what, but all of a sudden I totally lost it, bursting into hysterical laughter. He pointed. There it is. He'd finally broken through to me, and now he was laughing too. This guy was seriously nuts, but his little plan had worked. You took damn long enough, he said as he continued to dance. How could I not laugh? This is utterly ridiculous. I wiped the corners of my eyes, but still refused to partake in any dancing. When the song ended, he reached his hand out to me. I'd like to call a truce. he flashed a humble, genuine smile. As much as I was hesitant, I relented and shook his hand. After that performance, how could I not? And that smile. Okay, Kennedy, I'll call a truce with you. But no more chiming in on my life decisions or the content of any emails that come your way if you get them. Done. He was still holding my hand, the warmth of his skin sending shivers down my spine. He nudged his head toward the bar and held up one of the two drink tickets we were each allotted.
Let me get you a drink. It's the least I can do.
I shrugged. Sure, why not? He released my hand, only to rest his on the small of my back as he guided me through the crowd to the bar. We stopped at the counter.
What can I get you? White Christmas martini.
No. A vodka soda with lime, please.
You got it.
He winked at me and gestured to the bartender. What kind of bizarre universe was I living in? One where I was having a drink with Kennedy Riley? Liliana spotted me standing with Kennedy at the bar and gave me two big thumbs up. I rolled my eyes and shook my head. She kept her distance, opting to leave me alone with him. Kennedy handed me my drink and took a sip of his beer. The music was so loud that he had to speak right into my ear. The heat of his breath, along with the recognition of his masculine scent, made my pulse race.
So, are you heading anywhere for the holidays?
He asked as his lips brushed against my ear. Yeah, tomorrow morning. I mistakenly booked the first flight out at 6 a.m., which I think I'm going to be regretting after drinking a few of these things. I'll have to leave for LaGuardia by 4 a.m. I held up my cocktail. How about you?
Nope. Stopped going home for the holidays a few years ago. Where are you from?
Albany. He paused mid-sip.
Get out. Upstate? You're kidding, right?
No, why?
I'm from Rochester. We're practically neighbors.
I smiled. Only another person from upstate would say living 80 miles apart made us neighbors. Here in the city, people packed an overnight bag just to travel the 20 miles to Long Island. How come you stopped going home? I asked. He looked away and then chugged the rest of his beer.
Long story.
Oh, okay.
How long are you staying for? He asked.
Just until after the new year. I'm not really looking forward to it, to be honest.
Does this have anything to do with the Christmas letter your mother sends out?
I almost asked how he knew about that, but then I remembered. It might have a little to do with that, I admitted. Just my mother's overall judgmental nature, yes.
You know it's all bullshit, right? Someone can be accomplished without having to play for a symphony or whatever shit she puts in those letters. You shouldn't let it get to you.
Well, I'm afraid that's easier said than done. His mouth curved into a mischievous smile.
You know what would be awesome?
What?
If you could give her exactly what she wants. On steroids.
What are you talking about?
Like, make some crazy shit up. Laugh about it on the inside.
I'm not a good enough liar.
I'd be happy to volunteer.
My eyes narrowed suspiciously. What are you talking about? Explain.
I could go home with you for a bit. You could make up a story. Introduce me as some guy you're dating. You said your mother's always complaining because you're not with anyone, right?
So you're offering to be my fake boyfriend. And what would you tell my mother, exactly? He scratched his chin, drawing my eyes to the sexy 5 o'clock shadow that dotted his jaw.
Oh, I don't know. I'd have to think about it. Or maybe make it up off the top of my head. More fun that way.
It wouldn't be fun. It's not a game. This is my life. He seemed bummed out that I wouldn't consider his suggestion.
Okay. Forget I said anything. But the offer still stands if you change your mind.
He winked.
You've got my email, anyway.
At LaGuardia Airport the following morning, I was regretting the third drink I'd had last night. I sported oversized sunglasses to shield light from my eyes while I perused the magazines at Hudson News across from my gate.
I believe your guru's column is printed in the newspaper, not that trashy magazine,
a deep, familiar voice said from just over my shoulder. Startled, I jumped and turned. My hand flew up to cover my heart as it started to race out of control. I blinked a few times and swallowed hard. What are you doing here? Kennedy grinned.
I decided to go home for the holidays after all.
And you just happen to be on Flight 62?
You mentioned you were on the first morning flight, so I figured this might be it. I pushed my sunglasses down and looked over them at him. You wanted to be on my flight? Figured it might give you a chance to reconsider my proposal. My offer is still open, by the way. The truth was, last night as I tossed and turned, I had thought about his proposition. A lot. It didn't sound like that bad of an idea. Maybe I wouldn't want to take things to the outlandish level he had suggested, but showing up with a date would certainly shift the focus away from all the things I wasn't accomplishing, though I didn't understand why he was anxious to come home with me. We took seats next to each other as we waited to board. "You seriously want to come home with me and have no problem lying through your teeth?" I asked.
"Not if it's for the greater good. But actually, my services wouldn't exactly be free."
Disappointed in myself for even considering trusting him, I shook my head. I should have known.
"Get your mind out of the gutter, Riley Kennedy. It's not anything like that."
"What is it then, Kennedy Riley?"
"I need a date to my brother's wedding back in Rochester. It's on the Saturday before New Year's Eve."
"But you said you weren't planning on going back home for the holidays."
"I wasn't. I reconsidered. You said you'd still be in town, right?"
"Yeah, I'm flying back New Year's Day."
"That's perfect, then. And you wouldn't even have to make up crazy stories or anything. Just be there with me so I don't have to show up alone."
I thought about it for a moment. "I guess that's harmless enough. But I'll have to think about all of this on the flight." It sounded harmless, but something deep in my gut told me that nothing about dealing with Kennedy Riley came without some risk.